Jesus answered Judas, not Iscariot, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our will. If not send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. The Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you from our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. With a late Easter Sunday this year, the Easter season runs into this unofficial beginning of summer in this Memorial Day weekend, when people's minds, myself included, can tend to be more easily shifted toward other things. And while I would never advocate for taking time off of church, quote-unquote, in the summer months, I'm also realistic in understanding how camps and sport and dance and music activities and vacations tend to disrupt any flow of the summer and take us in many different directions and somewhat more separate ways. Some of our children and youth will face transition in their education. Some young adults will move from college and university to different full-time jobs. In August, we will bid farewell to Vicar Parker and Gina as they move on to the next step in their vocations. And it's natural in such times of transition to wonder and ponder and even grieve what will no longer be, what we might be separated from, what we might be losing. And at the same time, just as always, we all continue to move forward in life with the burdens we still carry day to day, concerns about health and wellness for loved ones or ourselves, and the general uncertainty of not always knowing what comes next in this fragile and unpredictable life and world. The words of Jesus in today's gospel, though, from John, have much to say to us and provide meaningful assurance as Jesus' disciples face a somewhat similar situation. In these latter weeks of Easter, as I said in the introduction, the readings shift from resurrection appearances of Jesus to themes related to ascension and Pentecost. The book of Acts says that 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus was taken up into heaven, ascending in the sight of his disciples. And so for this reason, ascension is observed on the 40th day of the Easter season, coming up this Thursday. Pentecost then comes on the 50th day of the season to celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit that Jesus promises. Both of these stories come with their mysterious elements, and our lectionary readings over these weeks help us put some additional framework around them with the teachings of Jesus as these weeks. Today, we once again find ourselves in the farewell discourse of John's Gospel. After the Last Supper and the foot washing and Jesus' command to the disciples to love one another, he begins to focus them on preparing for life without him, that is, without his physical presence. Just before today's text, Jesus has promised his followers that he will not leave them orphaned. Some scholars suggest this was a common expression at the time for disciples who are left without a teacher, but the relational language here speaks more deeply to this intimate relationship that Jesus has talked about throughout the gospel, an intimate relationship that he shares with God, whom he calls Father, and a relationship of love within that relationship that is then shared with his followers. When today's reading begins, Jesus is addressing the question of a follower named Judas, different from the one who betrayed him, who, like many of Jesus' disciples in this gospel, has not truly understood everything Jesus has been telling them. He's asked for a sign. "Lord, how will you reveal yourself to us in this time to come?" But Jesus has, of course, already been speaking of this ongoing revelation in his teaching, in the way he's described his relationship with God, and in the way he's described his relationship to those disciples, calling them friends and inviting them to follow his command to share the gifts of love and service in their own lives. It is in their acts of loving service that the love of God and the presence of Jesus continues to remain manifest in this world, continues to abide in the lives of those disciples, and continues to abide in those who need to hear the promise of God's love. Taken out of this larger context, though, today's gospel can seem just like another teaching out of many, with some nice assurances for the disciples along their way. But this text and the sections surrounding it are significant in the ways that they address the very real and true and deep fears and concerns and possibly even despair of these disciples, who are suddenly faced with not just the prospect, but the certainty of losing Jesus and having to live without him. These fears might have been encompassed in their fear of separation, the thought of being alone, being left with no one to love and no one to love them, being stranded without guidance or help, with their hopes for a new and different future that they envisioned swept out from under them altogether. In the face of this, Jesus' assurances like, "Do not let your hearts be troubled," and "Peace I leave with you," seem easy to say but more elusive to experience. Like when someone tells you, "Don't cry, it's going to be okay," when you're at the depths of your emotion, and that kind of thing just isn't helpful. But Dr. Gail O'Day, in her commentary on John's Gospel, emphasizes that Jesus' assurances here come from a more grounded place. It comes from his knowledge of God's love for him and for his own, and his confidence that as God has promised, in his coming hour, his death and resurrection and ascension will be the ultimate victory of God's love over all these powers of sin and death and evil that John writes so often seem to rule in this world and that so often seem to rule in our hearts as we live in anxiety and fear over what is to come. And so in today's reading specifically, Jesus asks these disciples, seeks to move them beyond their immediate fear to begin seeing a different future. A future that is grounded in the hope of the resurrection and the gift of the promised Holy Spirit. Now, we talk a lot about the Spirit in church, but we don't often take time to really dig into what this presence of God means. And in John's Gospel, I think we get perhaps the fullest picture of what this Spirit was all about, is all about. In verse 16, earlier in this chapter, John has introduced the Spirit as the Paraclete. This is a Greek word that means God's ongoing presence among the disciples after Jesus leaves them. Paraclete is the Greek noun form of a verb that can mean to exhort and encourage, to comfort and console, to call upon for help, and to appeal. So the Paraclete is the one who can do and does all these things for God's people, the comforter, the counselor, the advocate. But any such choice of one word can limit our understanding of who the Spirit is and what the Spirit means for Jesus' followers and for us. In today's reading, Jesus clarifies that this Paraclete, the Advocate, is indeed the Holy Spirit, and that one important role that the Spirit will play is to continue teaching Jesus' disciples and reminding them of everything he had taught them. It's a sentence we can easily gloss over, but contains a gift that is precious and not to be underestimated. For I think as we see in our own life of faith, ongoing, consistent reminders of God's word and teachings are much needed, much, much needed amid the noise and the pressure and the values that constantly surround us day to day. Without an ongoing connection to God and to Christ's teaching and the faith community in which we live and to whom we are held accountable, we easily lose our focus. The pressures of day-to-day overwhelm us, and without thinking, we speak harshly to our loved ones. We don't think twice before reposting an item or repeating a story or making an assumption that is less than gracious toward our neighbors and which doesn't help to serve God's people and their upbuilding. Or, as does happen sometimes, one Sunday away becomes two and becomes three, and we think, what's the big deal? God still loves us, and before we know it, we've lost touch with an important, life-giving, and affirming aspect of our day-to-day life, our weeks, and most importantly, our connection to the abundant love and grace of God. It is this, Jesus says, this continued grace and love of God to which we are connected, to which the Holy Spirit continues to remind us, that gets us through and gives us the strength to face our troubles, our struggles, and whatever pains come about. Our tendency when we face change and transition, though, when we face losing something that we fear losing, we can become so possessive and inward focused and grasping at control of whatever we can control. As O'Day writes, this inability or unwillingness to let go can often become a form of narcissism and selfishness, and thus can quickly disrupt and skew our relationships with others and, of course, our relationship with God. This seems to be the subtext with which Jesus speaks to these disciples today. As much as they want to hold on to Jesus, as much as they do not want to let him go, to give in to this inclination is not going to be healthy or helpful for them or for anyone. Yes, Jesus takes time to acknowledge and honor their feelings and doubts and concerns, but he reminds them that they can't dwell there forever. To do so in that case will interfere with God's plan unfolding among them and will prevent them from participating in the new work and the new life that God will be doing through Jesus and by the power of the Spirit. As Jesus moves toward his death, resurrection, and ascension, he teaches the disciples that there is no room for focus only on themselves and their fears and their concerns, for the love of Jesus has called them already to share and demonstrate loving service toward one another and to the world. And it is by that, it is in that work, not only of those first disciples, but in our work today, that God's work and mission continue in this world by the help of the Spirit. We are invited to receive God's grace together. We are invited to allow it to free us from our bondage to our fears and concerns, our anxiety over the uncertainties of all that is to come, and to take part in the blessings of God's reign that continue to unfold among us, strengthened and guided by the promised Holy Spirit given to us in the waters of baptism. In Jesus' words to his disciples in this gospel, we are included in his and God's promise that amid our fears, amid our anxieties, our future, no matter what it holds, is always in God's care and held in God's love. Our future is secured by the promise of the resurrection and sustained by the ongoing presence of that Spirit. And so in this promise and in this gift of hope, we follow the Spirit's leading into the blessings of ascension and Pentecost and the gifts of new life that God has in store beyond. Amen.